Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Route 25, brought to you by Fox Valley Magazine and When and How Communications. Today, we're talking with Amy Morton, the owner and founder of Stolp Island Social, which is in Aurora in the Paramount Theater complex that includes Copley and the venue. It's right there in the river. It's a remarkable place. Amy is the daughter of a legendary restaurateur, Arnie Morton of Morton Steakhouse, and her entire family is involved in the restaurant business, or at least almost all of it. So we talk about that a little bit, and then we talk about Stolp Island and Amy's newfound love for Aurora. So let's get to it. Here's Amy. Hi, Amy. How you doing?
I am great. Thank you.
This is good to hear. Well, thanks a bunch for giving us a few minutes here. I appreciate it. I'm sure you're pretty busy with all the things that you're involved in. So,
it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Greatly appreciate it. Well, you know, Amy, reading about you, you're a fascinating person, but I got to tell you, I get the sense that you were born in the wrong century. I hope that isn't insulting to you. It isn't meant to be. But I feel like this, instead of the 2020s, you'd be happier in the 1920s.
Well, it's kind of funny because I always thought I should have been born a decade earlier, and rather than growing up in the 70s, grow up in the 60s. But I'm pretty happy being a 70s kid. And, I think it makes it more interesting being well-rounded. So I wouldn't want to only be 1920s, and I'm happy to be 2020s. And I think that's one of the most exciting things coming up is I think we're really going to see what we all have envisioned the 1920s being once we kind of come out of this COVID thing in the 2020s.
Right. Yeah. Well, one hopes. Well, I mean, maybe not the end of the 2020s, but at very least the middle of it. That was pretty fun. Okay, so we're talking, this is a restaurant discussion. So I feel very compelled to express my credentials to you as a restaurant expert. So I worked at a McDonald's in high school. In my professional career, I started at a global supplier to McDonald's. My father-in-law was the president of a company that sold commercial restaurant equipment. And I first met him at the Drake during the National Restaurant Association convention. I've eaten in a lot of nice places around the world, and I can boil an egg. So there you go. We can talk shop now. Sorry. I know how to pay a bill. That's pretty much it. You, on the other hand, are the daughter of Arnie Morton, obviously a legendary restaurateur. You chose to go into the same field, as did a lot of your relatives, as I understand it. Early on, was that tough, or was it a positive? I mean, following a legend, basically.
Oh, that's a good question. It was a double-edged sword, and I think it changed from time to time. Early on, I loved working with my dad, though I never thought I was going to go into the business. And I think one of the reasons I shied away from it, not only was I had, my own interests separate from the restaurant industry, but that it was a path so well traveled by those that had come before me that I wanted to, find my own path. And as much as my parents were committed to all of us doing whatever it is we wanted to do, and really my mom brought me up saying I can do absolutely anything, there was still that underlying, hey, you're going to take over the empire, right, Aim? And so I felt both sides of it. And it wasn't until I went back to work to open Found Kitchen, my most the first restaurant in this time frame in the last, decade, that I really felt, A, that I was doing it for me, but that there was no sense of competition with siblings. I never have felt that I had something to live up to for the name. I am proud that many do feel that I live up to the name and that they love what I do in our restaurants, though the pressure is off at this point in my life.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably one of the things that makes it so enjoyable.
Yeah, that's neat. It's really funny you say that, because my next question was about that very thing, because pretty much everybody, well, not everybody, almost everybody in your immediate family are in the restaurant business. They own restaurants or whatever. And, you know, if you guys, you know, at a dinner table, you know, you guys could claim that it was an industry event. You could write them all off just because, you know, and so it's all over your family, obviously. And I was going to ask you, is there a sense of competition between you, or is it more a collaborative thing? At very least, you guys could talk shop in a very in-depth way. You know, you can commiserate with each other at very least. But has that ever created any tension, or has that been a very positive thing?
It's definitely created tension. I think it depends on which siblings at which times. I think most of us have felt I don't know if I'd call it conflict, but certainly competition and or pressure more than anything else. And one of the things that also feels terrific is, you know, where I'm at in my life is, you know, if I speak to one of my brothers, I mean, they're really the ones in the restaurant business, or my mom, of course, whose opinion I respect so much. I'm the one choosing when to talk to them if there is something I need to run by them. Though socially, we never talk restaurants. I choose never to talk restaurants socially because that's what I do for work, and I don't really want to intermix them. I mean, it's just kind of the same is true when I go out to dinner with people typically that I don't know very well, or there might be new people at a table. Honestly, or if they're old friends, people love hearing about the restaurants. It's a very social, exciting conversation for so many people to have. I mean, dining is the number one form of entertainment in certainly this country today. And I often find myself trying to answer the question quickly and move on to something else because it's not terribly relaxing for me to talk about it.
Right. Yeah. Right. But you know, it's funny when I interview entertainers, I always get the same sort of sense from them. You know, it's they love entertaining, but they really don't want to talk about it all the time. You know, I mean, because it's exhausting. You know, you want to sort of get away from it. So I get it. You know, it's kind of the same concept. So you took off 10 years to raise your children. First of all, let me tell you how much I admire that. That it's because it seems pretty clear to me that this is a passion for you, not just a job, you know. And was that difficult? And it must have been a little bit difficult sort of shutting it off.
Well, actually 13 years, yes. And no, it wasn't difficult at all, because they were such vastly different parts of my life. In the early days, it felt that it was a means to an end. I was great at what I did. And at the time that I actually left the restaurant industry, I had already started phasing a more holistic realm into my lifestyle, from, you know, not just how I ate and feng shui and meditation, but I did do, I sort of struck out in a new career path in terms of alternative healing, complementary and alternative modalities of lifestyles. And it really felt like the right thing to me. So my last restaurant job, really, when I was the director of operations for the KDK group, Red Light, Vivo, Marché, you know, Jerry Kleiner's things, I was already looking to do something else. And I continued not only doing that as sort of a part-time career after I'd left the industry, though more than it becoming a career, it really became interwoven in my life. And that was, that couldn't have been a better lead in to having a family and raising my girls in a way that really spoke to me and was so much of what I wanted to impart on them as to family values. And then once I went back to work, it was a slow evolution of determining if I wanted to, that I needed to. And by the time I really decided to move forward and wasn't terrified anymore, the best part about it was the idea that I was bringing my whole self into it. The integrated Amy, not just the hostess with the mostest, which I was always so good at, but a much more balanced, thoughtful person that wanted to make a difference both on the restaurant floor, in the world, and in her family.
Interesting. Yeah, that's neat. I was going to ask you, what sort of prompted you to get back into the game? It sounds, and again, I could be dead wrong here, it sounds as if prior to you taking the time off with your children, and time off is kind of a terrible thing to say there. Raising children is not easy. I've got a couple myself, I understand. But, you know, leaving the industry, it sounds as I was going to ask you about the, you know, you kind of bounced in and out between ownership and, I guess, consulting, or that's not true, or management is the better word, right?
So yeah, I did both. I did consulting and management, and yeah.
And you know, as opposed to ownership, right? Because ownership's a little bit different. Because I think I've got the timeline right. It was you worked with your father for a while, and then you started the cafe, I believe, and then Mirador and Blue Room, and then you went into sort of a management thing with, who was it? You started your MVC thing, and then
Alex with, Van Heusen,
right? Yes. And then KDK, and all right. So, and then you took the time off. It was just kind of bouncing around. So, what made you get back into ownership? You know, starting your own restaurants again. I mean, obviously, Found was the first one after your children, right?
Yes. So first of all, kudos for doing such research. Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's a walk down memory lane. And why ownership? Multiple reasons. One, the reason I got out of it and did other things was the commitment and the pressure. That's why, you know, I got out of it. It was just too much at the time. And the reason I got back into it was flexibility. And even though it came with the pressure and the commitment, I knew what I wanted to do. When I left restaurants the first time, I never wanted to eat in one again, let alone own one. And this time around, listen, I thought about working for other people, but I'm very specific about what I want. And I was very specific about what I needed. Yeah. And I needed the flexibility to be with my family once I got these or that restaurant opened. And I knew it would be a year or two before I really saw anybody in my family. I knew that I would have the flexibility again. And I knew it because I had owned my own restaurant before. And I knew it very well because I'd seen my father go through it many times.
Right.
And, you know, the cycle is creating it, getting it up and running. And really the 3 months prior to open to the 3 months post opening, you know, one consider the most crucial, though certainly my first one going back, Found Kitchen, it was a solid year and a half. And I would tell my family, I'm not going to see you for a year. I'm not going to see you for a year and a half. And of course, nobody could relate to that.
Yeah.
And it's what somebody has to do in this business. And especially because I didn't have the infrastructure yet. It was just myself, you know, and Nicole Peterson, who was my opening chef, who was, of course, amazing. But now with in an organization, you know, that I'm super proud of, an incredible group of people that I work with every day. The time frame of doing new projects can vary. And each one also, you know, is based on its own thing. But I decided to go back to ownership. Well, one, because I thought that's what I know. Two, the flexibility. And three, I hoped if it worked out, it'd be the best, the greatest upside.
Yeah. I empathize with what you're saying, because there are so many positives and negatives to ownership, but flexibility is an important one, particularly if you have children. So that's interesting. Okay. Back to the present. So you are an established elite, if I may say so, resident of the North Shore. And what are you doing with a restaurant in Aurora? what got you to explore the Fox Valley and Aurora in specific, to open a new venue?
Well, I like everything you've said about me, except elite.
I had a feeling you'd have a problem with that.
Because it's certainly not how I look at myself. So I guess in this industry, it you know, people
I retract.
Well, listen, it was a long time in the making to move forward with the Aurora project. And we kind of found each other. In the past, I've said, oh, they found me, the developer of the project, which was a historic building renovation and complicated, very, very big project. They did an incredible job, really extraordinary. They lived on the North Shore and knew my restaurant. And we occasionally met. But I too had been out to Aurora prior to them reaching out to me. And I had experienced the spectacular performances at the Paramount Theater, right. World class, Broadway class, without doubt, theater, and knew firsthand that there was not a restaurant in walking distance from the Paramount Theater in Aurora. I mean, my family and I went to Naperville when we went out there. And as I started to understand, those that lived in Aurora that dined on a regular basis were going to Geneva and St. Charles and to Naperville.
Yeah.
So once I was introduced to the space and met Tim Rader, met Mayor Irvin, who is incredible, I just started falling in love with it. And not just the fact that our location and where the Paramount and downtown Aurora is sits on an island, which is incredibly cool. And most people who live in Aurora don't even know that.
Right.
I started falling in love with the dream that they had for Aurora, which was its renaissance. And the community of Aurora is something I had really, I completely took for granted what it could be like coming in. And this is a community of people that love where they live. These are some of the nicest people I've ever come in contact with. And the generations of families that have stayed out there through the ups and the downs. And economically, there's been a lot of downs.
Yep.
To be on the precipice of this renaissance was just enlivening in every way. And I wanted to be a part of it. So, you know, from, you know, really smart people to really creative people to really nice people to just being super, super driven, the city itself is just on fire. And they are committed to this city having a new vibrancy. And I could not help but wanting desperately to be a part of it, and feel super, super lucky that I am.
That's neat. Yeah. I mean, I moved a little plug for the Fox Valley here. I moved out here about 20 years ago. I lived in Chicago and in London prior to that. And so I was pretty urban. When I came out here, it's the reason I started the magazine. I was really astonished by the diversity of, and the potential of the communities here, right? I mean, Elgin is sort of, if you want to sort of shorthand it, Elgin on top and then Aurora at the bottom, you know, geographically down the river. Those are neat cities. Those are neat communities. I mean, they are city-like in a lot of ways, and had so much potential. You know, the river itself provides so much potential, and the histories and all that stuff. And then, you know, the communities in the middle are a little bit more, you know, suburban-ish, but it's a neat place. And I'm really appreciative of what you just said, and very appreciative of the fact that you chose to sort of invest yourself in this area. So with that, tell us a little bit about Soap Island Social. I don't know that much about it, to be very honest with you. So give it a shot.
Wow. Soap Island Social, we'd like to say we're 1920s Aurora meets Coco Chanel. Today in 2022, where things are really happening. So the restaurant is a super warm, inviting, approachable space. It is a steakhouse and seasonal kitchen where we really, really pride ourselves on our quality. We love the local community, everything from beef to beer, that we really, truly can get locally that not only tastes better because it's from close by, though better for the planet. And we've all been reading about, you know, climate change, and to embrace the all that we possibly can. I know that beef is not necessarily considered the most sustainable. However, we choose to do it in a very different way, besides the fact that we have the absolute best quality beef that can be found at Stope Island. To really create it as a community centerpiece, we offer both a house cut as well as our reserve. We have a really, really wide audience, no pun intended, but that is very much based on the city itself, which is 200,000 people, as well as the clientele of the theater, where people may be coming out once a year for a show or seeing it regularly. So we want our restaurant not only to be comfortable and approachable and to be a place that everybody feels like they belong, vibe-wise, but also based on their pocketbook. So we have a really large range of price points and offer the best quality that we can in all of those price points. So steak is very understandable. It's sought after. It certainly is something that I know very well. And we couple that with our seasonal kitchen for people who are looking for something lighter or more vegetable focused, or just a little something different in their day, and a way for us to work with, you know, more local farms in itself. Right. So, right. Yeah.
I love the, I say this with admitting I haven't been there yet. I love the ambiance just based on what I've seen from the photos and things.
Thank you.
No, it's not. I'm a fan of that era just because of the fashions, you know. The only way I look good in a suit is with the 1920s suit, you know, the big lapels and all that stuff. It's a cool looking place. And I assume that the association with the Paramount, and informal association with the Paramount, has been very helpful. I mean, but it also probably creates some challenges too, because of the timing of things, you know, pre-show, post-show, right? I mean, there's I imagine there's operational things, if nothing else, that creates
That actually is probably the other reason why I very much wanted to do this project. Was I'm always looking for my next challenge. And I had never done what we call a flat seated restaurant. And so what you're bringing up is exactly that. How do we seat every single chair in the restaurant within a half an hour? And then how do we get them all up and out at the exact same time to see the show? And that was a little puzzle, which was exciting to me. So, you know, that came down to what kind of menu can we create that's going to get people up and down? How do we work our sequence of service to make people feel like they're being best taken care of? What kind of equipment do we need? What kind of drink list? How do we make our drinks so we can get them out quickly? And our biggest goal is to make sure that, well, one, we create the very best guest experience possible, but being adjacent to the theater, so they feel like they're up and out of their chairs in time to get to the theater without being rushed. So that has been really fun. And it has been a great challenge. I think we've done really well at it. So
yeah, that's neat. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So just a couple more questions and I'll let you go. I guess my question is, how is it going so far? And both in terms, I mean, obviously the timing of your opening, which was in 2019, right? Obviously the timing was not so great because immediately we go into COVID. But even with that, I mean, so how's it going so far in terms of the restaurant and maybe equally as important, Aurora's progress in revitalization, as you said.
Okay. More double-edged swords. So I went to the State of the State just several weeks ago that the mayor hosted at the Paramount Theater. It was more exhilarating than the greatest pep rally a high school student could possibly go to. I was blown away. I was so proud to be a part of it. And he shared that in 2021, our second year of COVID, they had 71 ribbon cuttings of new ventures, condo buildings, hospitals, stores. The year before, they had 20. So they're on fire. Aurora's on fire. In terms of us as a restaurant specifically, it's been tough. It was much easier to close the restaurants than it was to open them back up. Stope was only open for 3 months. It was closed for 20. We reopened December 10th. And, you know, we have been at the mercy of COVID and the rest of the world. And, you know, the theater at one point had an issue with COVID and they had to close. And so that dramatically impacted our sales. People who went out during COVID, I think, have gotten accustomed to going to their places that they feel comfortable in. So we were again being seen as something new. There's three theaters we pull from. We pull from the Paramount, we pull from the Copley Theater, which is the new theater across the street. It's 300 seats as opposed to 1800. And they run intermittently with the Paramount shows. That's also Tim Rader's theater, where the Paramount is musicals. Copley is straight theater, just got an incredible review on their show. And then there's also the venue, which is a live music venue just around the corner. So we're pulling from everybody. So we have not really gotten to creating our own standalone guest base, except for on the weekends. Fridays and Saturdays after the show, yes, we are having people come in because they want to dine with us. Separate from the show. When we hear people are not going to the theater, we are so excited. Oh, yay, they're just coming to see us. But weeknights is still That's really our goal right now. How can we create our own guest base? So there's lots of introductions, marketing, et cetera, that we're doing. And then, you know, the most difficult part of all of it is we don't have enough staff yet to operate at capacity, even when we do have, you know, a really large turnout from the theater. So I think we were all in restaurants as COVID was open, close, where we would sit down and nobody would ever come take care of us at the table because they just didn't have enough staff. And, you know, you walked out feeling like, oh, was it even worth going out? So the approach I've taken, not only in Aurora, but in all my restaurants, is we only seat as many guests as we have staff to be able to take care of them. Because if it's been difficult attracting staff, it's been just as hard keeping them. And, you know, our goal, you know, at first was how do we seat as many guests as possible and not have anybody quit? You know, who's ever worked in the restaurant business, and even you have a little, there's something called a restaurant dream. And restaurant dreams are actually nightmares because the typical restaurant dream is I'm working in the busiest restaurant there is. It's jam-packed and I am the only employee. I'm taking care of all the tables and it is just a massive anxiety nightmare. And so we've been very, very careful not to overseat the restaurant so we can assure all of our guests they have the best experience as well as our staff. And, you know, we're really looking to find that bell curve of getting the guests and having enough staff. So I've been really hoping that once the weather gets warm, now that we've had our mandates rescinded, that we'll see a nice crescendo in both. So I'm extremely positive and looking very forward to it happening.
That's great. That's great. Well, let's hope so. Absolutely. All right. Last question. Just what's your future look like? Are you going to continue? Do you have any other projects in the works or here or elsewhere or?
Well, we do. In fact, we do. We're working on something in Evanston. We're working on something, a neat little project in New Jersey. And I do have another idea up my sleeve. I've got two ideas up my sleeve for Aurora. They're both in very early discussions. They're both really different than what we're doing right now. So I can't yet speak to it, though. We would very, very much like to do something else in the Aurora area. So I hope we will in the not too distant future.
Well, great. That's exciting. Well, let us know when you do, please. we'll publicize it. Anyway, Amy, thank you so much. You're a delight to speak to, by the way.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Yeah, no problem. Hopefully we'll speak to you soon and maybe we'll bump into you at Stolp Island.
Well, we'd love to have you as our guest anytime. I think you've got my contact info. Please let me know. And we're still just 5 nights, but fortunately, we've been working towards brunch again, which is really fun. It's a live jazz brunch, and nice. That will be starting on Easter. So we'll be doing an all-day Sunday menu, which I think will be something really fun.
Awesome. All right. Well, Amy, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay,
bye-bye.